also to continue reading something from this book of Srila Prabhupada's collection for his Light of the Bhagavat presentation that he was trying to present in Japan. So this is number 19 of the descriptions that he's giving from this chapter called the Description of Autumn in the Krishna, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. A crane, tells us, Srila Prabhupada tells us, stands on the edge of a pond that is always disturbed by flowing water, mud, and stones. The crane is like a householder who is disturbed in the shelter of his home, but who, because of too much attachment, does not want to change his position. So Srila Prabhupada goes on to speak about this particular description which he was giving for the artist to render. And he says, we should always remember that the society, friendship, and love we are supposed to enjoy in family life are only a shadowy representation of the real society, friendship, and love reciprocated in the kingdom of God. There is no reality in the conditioned life of material existence, but because of our ignorance, we are attached to the mirage. The idea of society, friendship, and love is not at all false, but the place where we search for it is false. We have to give up this false position and rise up to the reality. That should be the aim of life, and that is the result of cultivation of the human spirit. So we heard this term yesterday that Srila Prabhupada is using. Srila Prabhupada is writing these texts while living in Vrindavan. So the vitality of Vrindavan is very much present before him. And he's trying to think how to present this transcendental reality to people of a different culture who have no experience and no inclination towards it. So he has created for their benefit this term, the human spirit. And we heard yesterday what he meant by the human spirit was not to try to relieve all the problems of life, but to try to make very strong advancement towards the platform of reality, transcendental reality. So Prabhupada continues and says, unfortunately, for want of sufficient culture of this spirit, this human spirit, the materialistic man always sticks to this false place, a place in spite of all of its turmoils. It is said that man should give this up, but he continues not to do so. Then Prabhupada, in another place, he explains, there are two kinds of living entities, namely the conditioned and the pure. It is for the conditioned living entities that the material nature is created, and the conditioned souls are put into it to become pure, unconditioned souls. Those who become unconditioned by devotional service enter into the kingdom of God. And those who lose the chance rot in dormant material conditions. Rot in dormant material conditions. Sometimes manifested and sometimes unmanifested. Lord Sri Krishna descends to reclaim the conditioned souls. So I find for myself that it's very helpful before speaking of the pastimes of Braja to take a dose of sobriety, because it's like if you have a disease and you take some medicine, if you don't have the disease, then you'll remain as you are. And if you do have the disease, then the disease will be treated by that particular medication. So the disease that we have, all of us practically, because we're in this material world, is the disease, as Srila Prabhupada sometimes called it, of the enjoying spirit. This is not the human spirit. This is another mood and mind wherein we want to actually enjoy everything. And we think that anything pleasurable is enjoyable by us. But in reality, in Vrindavan, everything that is pleasurable in Vrindavan is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna himself. So now, let us hear a little bit of Krishna's enjoyment. The parrots. So there are basically, I was just thinking, this is not a scriptural statement. This is just one of those little speculations. But there are basically two kinds of parrots. There are the parrots that live outside in the Vrindavan forest. And then there are the few very special rare parrots that are pet parrots. And Srimati Radharani has at least one pet parrot. And Krishna also has pet parrots. And he keeps his pet parrots sometimes in his bedroom. Sometimes it is described that they live in a cage, a beautiful golden jeweled cage. And sometimes they fly freely. Sometimes in the evening, when Krishna is playing with his friends after he has had his evening meal, and the moon is shining outside, the moonbeams come in through the latticed window. Just imagine, and the moon is shining so brilliantly through the little lattice work of the window that it looks like beautiful crystal rods coming into the room. And Krishna's pet parrots will try to climb and sit on the rods. And of course they become very confused because they try to sit in the air and they fall down and they try again to sit. And all the boys get great delight out of watching the parrots and their antics. Now the parrots that live in the forest are different because those parrots are generally under the supervision of Srimati Vrinda Devi. So there are the parrots that fly in flocks, two types of forest parrots, and I'm sure this is an incorrect statement, but just a small a guess. And there are the parrots that fly around in flocks for their own for their services to beautify the forests of Vrindavan. And then there are some parrots that are specifically trained by Vrinda Devi, and they have very specific work to do. And they are very exalted parrots because they also have names, whereas the parrots that fly in the flocks are parrots. These parrots have been given names. So the parrots, Vrinda Devi's work begins in the morning, and she goes all endlessly. Yesterday we heard a question. A question that comes from the nature of the conditioned soul's quandary being in the material world. How, by hearing about Krishna constantly, am I supposed to think of Krishna constantly? How can I think of Krishna constantly? It feels like constricting. It feels like it doesn't feel palatable to think that you have to think of Krishna all the time. And in a quiet way, I think most of us can recognize this particular conditioned natural tendency. That we think, yes, in the morning I hear about Krishna, then it's time for breakfast. And after I've had my breakfast, then the day is mine. I've done my duties, I've done my Krishna consciousness, I've chanted my rounds, now it's my time. And then this used to be in the early days of Krishna consciousness that the night also was a time you should, before bed, you should do, again, very strict devotional activities. But with the coming of so much household life, that also wasn't possible. And so basically after a swift morning program, or in many cases, speaking even for myself as a grihastha, you get your 16 rounds done, and you think, after I've done my 16 rounds, the rest of the time is mine, 24 times 7. And this is the way that a materialistic or a conditioned soul thinks. This is my life, and I'll do what I want. So this is not the way the residents of Vrindavan think. So when we come in contact with how they think, it's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used the word one time that you will think it is a slave mentality. So this was the doubt that one honest soul was presenting on behalf of himself and on behalf of perhaps many of us, that it feels almost like 24 hours a day, it's only Krishna in the center. When is my time? But no one in Braj thinks like that. That's why they are there, and that's why we are here. So 24 hours a day the parrots are active, except in the evening time when they become very, very, very sad because they have no chance to see Krishna at that time because he has entered into Nandagram and now he is within the palace and he is sporting with his friends over his evening meal, and then of course he goes to sleep. Actually, we know that Krishna doesn't go to sleep. He gets up very quietly and he sneaks away from Nandagram, and he even entertains himself in the evening in a very happy way. So then perhaps the parrots also receive some service. But in the early, early morning, when Krishna is waking up, there are parrots whose service it is to wake up Radha and Krishna. So one of the parrots who wakes up Srimati Radharani, her name is Subha. And another parrot who wakes up Srimati Radharani, her name is Sukhsmadi. And these two parrots are actually disciples or servants of Vrindadevi. Also, sometimes Srimati Radharani's pet parrot, she squawks a little bit in a very sweet way and also tries to wake up her mistress, telling her that you should get up now because dawn is on the horizon and you should not spend any more time sleeping. The sky is now red. And she says, "The eastern sky is red in imitation of your beautiful red lotus feet. And the moon, who is desiring to have a luster, a beauty like yours, has become so disappointed that it has plummeted from the sky to the ground, so is no longer visible. So now it is time for you to wake up, and look, all your friends are coming. It is time for you to wake up and let them serve you." Then, because Radharani may not want to wake up so quickly, they refer to other personalities who are present, who wish to see her. "Look at your pet doe, beautiful young deer with beautiful black eyes. She has come here. She wants to take food from your hand." A pet deer, imagine, so beautiful, and feeding with your own hand. And she's used to Radharani feeding her. So she says, "She's come here and she's looking at your feet, your beautiful reddish lotus feet," and she's thinking, "Oh, this is new leaves," because sometimes we see on trees the new leaves are reddish, and then as they blossom, they become green. So she's thinking that your lotus feet are new leaves, and she's trying to lick them. "So please open your eyes, and you can greet her." And meanwhile, Krishna also, he has parrots that wake him up. And one of the parrots, his name is Vichakshana. And Vichakshana is also a very, very vastly learned parrot, an intelligent philosopher and a great orator, and full of deep love for the personality of Godhead. So he recites very charming, clear verses that delight the hearts of everybody who has the good fortune to hear them. So he describes to Krishna that you are so wonderful. You are the root of Gokul's good fortune. Everyone wants to see you. Your father's bliss increases continuously because of you. And your mother, she is so happy. She is looking forward to seeing you. So please wake up. The sky has become red with intense desire to see you. And now all the owls, because owls are birds of the night, all the owls have become silent, and the sun has already risen, so give up your sleep. So in this way, the parrots speak so many nice things. And they warn Krishna that your mother will quickly come, and she will be full of motherly affection. And look, here is your pet peacock, because Radha and Krishna also have pet peacocks, pet does, so many beautiful animals for their pleasure. "The peacock has come to wake you up, and seeing your beauty, he shines with love. This particular peacock, unlike the peacocks you'll see outside if you walk along here, doesn't lose his feathers in the autumn and the cold season. All the peacocks here, they have no feathers. And if they try to dance, they look rather foolish because they'll fluff out these feathers, but there'll be no fan because all their feathers have fallen out and need to be replenished. But Krishna's pet peacock, Tandvika, he doesn't lose his feathers in the autumn. So he spreads his tail just like a mosaic of glittering gems. And now he wants to dance." So Krishna is being told, "Please, wake up, wake up." So then, in this way, there is one other parrot that Vrindadevi has, who also comes in the morning. His name is Daksha. Daksha, we've heard of Daksha. And what does Daksha mean?
Expert.
Yes, so this parrot has expertly taught Krishna's pastimes to hundreds and thousands of parrots. So this Daksha is a very expert parrot. And he stays nearby, and his feathers stand up in transcendental loving ecstasy. So this is the nature of Vrindavan. Even the birds, even the animals, even the ground, everyone adores and worships Krishna and wants to please him. So then Daksha tells him that, oh Krishna, the cows are all waiting to be milked. They're all calling, then the calves are so thirsty, please wake up. Come, wait, and they all want, the calves won't go to their mothers without seeing your beautiful eyes. So please wake up. So in the morning the parrots wake Radha and Krishna. And then later, after Krishna has had his breakfast, he has become beautifully decorated by Mother Yasoda and cried upon immensely by her tears, and milk is dripping from her breasts, wishing to feed Krishna with a motherly affection. She has dressed him so beautifully for the forest with a beautiful turban. Sometimes it is white, sometimes it is reddish. And Krishna is all ready to go. He has his flute and all the boys are there, and they're all ready to leave for the forest. So Vrindadevi again, she has her work to do. So she goes to the forest and she calls to all the forest creatures. When Goddess Vrinda saw Krishna had entered her realm, she at once informed the forest of Vrindavan, who had become despondent out of separation. So Vrindadevi calls to the forest, your dearmost friend has now entered this place just to bring you transcendental happiness. Can you not hear in the distance his flute is playing? So wake up and blossom with happiness. Please fill yourselves now with the opulences, by coming to the place where the divine couple enjoy their transcendental pastimes. Then she calls to the parrots, and she calls the parrots and she says, please recite eloquent speeches. So the parrots fly in the sky and they speak so many wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And in this way they come and they sit on the branches, and just as when we're sitting outside listening to the Bhagavatam, hearing the glories of Vrindavan, every now and again you can look up behind, or for myself behind, I think for everyone else quite visibly, and there are two parrots that sit there and they play. One goes in the hole, yes, of the tree, and comes out, and the other parrot, and they sit there and they make little noises. But we don't understand parrot language. But Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Devotion, he says that Krishna is an expert linguist. And he can speak even the language, the gopis are telling each other that Krishna can speak even the language of parrots. So Krishna knows their language and they seem to know how to speak in a way that everybody can understand their beautiful speeches. So then the young gopis arrive from home, and Vrindadevi calls her two favorite parrots, which are Subha and Laghu Shukshmandi, and she instructs them. She sends one parrot and she says, you go to the place where Jyotila is. Because Jyotila, mother-in-law, if she should come, would be a great disaster. So she says to one parrot, you go to where Jyotila is and you make sure that she stays there. So this is a very mystifying thing. How can a parrot arrange for Jyotila to stay there? So I have no direct insights into this, but at least one thing is that if Jyotila decides not to stay there, certainly that parrot or one of the flocks of parrots will come flying overhead and say, oh, Jyotila is nearby, be very careful, Jyotila is nearby, and everyone will immediately be warned. And then Vrindadevi sends Subha, her other parrot, and she says to her, you go to where Chandravali is and you stay there, because she is waiting an expected visit from Krishna. Krishna has said, oh yes, my dear Chandravali, I will certainly come and see you very shortly. You wait here. So she's waiting, expecting Krishna, and Krishna himself is going towards a rendezvous with Srimati Radharani. So you wait there and keep Chandravali there. So that's easier to understand, because of course the little parrot can say, oh, Krishna is coming, I can see. Krishna is just now coming, and Chandravali will wait patiently. So in this way, the parrots of Vrindadevi, they engage in their services. So then as the pastimes in the day begin to unfold, again the parrots come. And sometimes they speak very beautiful speeches about the glories of Radha and Krishna. And sometimes they do curious things. Like one time when Krishna was playing a game with Radha and Krishna, with Radha and the other gopis, one parrot, female parrot, flew up into the branches and was watching. And at a certain point, Madhu Mangal, who's on, of course, on Krishna's side, he felt that the gopis were playing unfairly. So he began to shout very loudly that this is not fair, we should take action against this, this is not fair. He started shouting very loudly. And the parrot up in the branches of the tree thought that he was wanting to kill her. And so she started squawking very loudly and expressing her fear that Madhu Mangal was going to kill her. And when everybody understood the parrot's mistake, then they all started to laugh together. So in this way, in so many different ways, the parrots enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Now, I'd like to just finish with some nice words from Srila Prabhupada. In Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day this year, that they played a tape where Srila Prabhupada was speaking so we could hear him, his own words. And it was a very moving tape. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking at first about the three different levels of understanding of the Absolute Truth, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan realization, and speaking in a philosophical way. But towards the second half of his talking, he gave some little pointers that I wrote down at the time, and I find they're very pertinent for us here. They're not extraordinarily new and novel, but they're very, very relevant to hear again and again. So Prabhupada was saying that the more you practice your chanting, the more everything will be seen. Krishna will reveal everything, his name, his form, and his pastimes. Krishna will reveal through your chanting. By a service attitude, as we chant faultlessly, we cannot see Krishna by speculation. Only by submissively surrendering yourself to chant the holy name. And then he pointed out that this is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he made an interesting point that I think I have often thought myself, and he has mentioned, but it was interesting to hear him say this. He said, by studying the sample living entity, you can understand the chief living entity. So we have to be careful of this, that we don't misuse this comment. By understanding ourselves or by understanding others, we can understand something of Krishna. Because we can, I don't know what that form of ology is, where you think of God as, is that metamorphosis or something, where you think of God as, I make him up according to my own. Yes. So we don't want to be guilty of this, but Srila Prabhupada is giving us something that is valuable, because it means that from our own feelings and our own intelligence, we can actually gain some insights into understanding of Krishna. If we can understand, for example, that something, when we hear something very harsh, it makes us feel very sad, we can think that Krishna, he maybe feels very sorry to hear that. Or if we hurt somebody and we understand, oh, that was a bad thing to do, we can perhaps understand that Krishna also, he wouldn't be pleased with me, and so forth. So in a small way we can understand. Prabhupada said, but you have to understand that we are limited and Krishna is unlimited. Our loving propensity we may finish within time and space. The loving propensity of Krishna is not finished within time and space. It is eternal. So this struck me in another place I was reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Prabhupada was describing the difference between loving affairs on the material plane and the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. And striking to me, having read this quote, was that he makes the comparison on the basis of that the loving affairs of this world are temporary and the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna are eternal. So this does not seem sometimes to be the only characteristic of striking difference. We sometimes hear of the purity or the centeredness around Krishna of the loving affairs of the spiritual world. But here Srila Prabhupada was saying in a simple way that our loving affairs or our loving propensity will be finished within time and space. So this seemed to be, at first I was thinking, this is all he's going to say on the difference between us and Krishna. He went on to speak further and he said that an understanding Krishna's pastimes between Radha and Krishna, that should not be done through understanding ourself. He gave a different method. In other words, I can think, oh, I have these loving sentiments for a man or a woman, so Krishna, he's like me, he feels this, he feels that, as the reference point being myself here in the material world. But Krishna, Prabhupada said, you should try and understand Krishna, but Krishna should be understood through the authorities. Not by seeing, oh, here is a young boy and a young girl, this is very nice. Without authority, Prabhupada said, you will take Krishna as an ordinary man. The Goswamis, they explain. The Acharyas, they explain. But if all of a sudden you jump to become a knower of Jugal Priti, there is a chance of becoming fallen. Everything must be done. One must approach through the tattva vit, through somebody who is a knower of this subject. Then you can try to understand. Then Prabhupada spoke very strong words. He said, without knowing Krishna, they want to make a trade. They say, oh, this is this temple, this is that. So on, Prabhupada said, they use the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts. Or in other words, they make a business out of their religion. So many people you can see do this. Their income comes from the amount of pilgrims who come to their particular place of worship. So Prabhupada said, you cannot handle Krishna by your whims. He said, you be handled by Krishna's whims, and then we will be successful. He said, if we can draw a little attention of Krishna, our life will be successful. And how to draw Krishna's attention? You take service of Krishna as ordered by your spiritual master. And then, again, Srila Prabhupada spoke of something quite grave. He said, we do not wish to carry out, he was talking about us, our mentality, he said, but we do not wish to carry out the order of the Acharya. So this I found at the time extremely sobering medicine, because so many times I see I also don't wish to carry out the order of the Acharya in some form or another. He says, we manufacture our own ways. And then he mentioned, he said, we have personal experience that a great institution was lost by whimsical ways. The whole thing was lost. So he says, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, stick to the order of the spiritual master, not caring for your own convenience and inconvenience, and you will become perfect. So this I find a very important balancing agent. Whilst hearing a little of the sweetness and the beauty of the pastimes of Vrindavan, because it keeps me in the mood and mind as a speaker and hearer of being a servant, that I want to develop my love for Radha and Krishna, I want to develop my appreciation for Vrindavan, I want to assist others to do that, all in the mood of actually pleasing Srila Prabhupada. Because if we can please Srila Prabhupada, then our path actually becomes natural and easy. And if we try to do something on our own, then we become like a grasshopper or a cricket trying to jump. You jump and you jump and you jump. But how high can you jump? But how easy it is if someone picks up a cricket, in their hand and very effortlessly places them where they're trying to jump to. So we should take this to heart and seriously hear today with the mood and mind of how to please Srila Prabhupada by our spiritual growth and development of love of Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much.